Turning now to the book of Hosea, chapter 1. Hosea, chapter 1. Hosea, if you're looking in your Bibles, is right after Daniel, right after Ezekiel. It's the first of a group of prophets in the Old Testament that are called the minor prophets. They're called the minor prophets not because they're less important, but because they're shorter. It's a word that has to do with the length of these prophets. And so because Hosea is shorter, it's still 14 chapters, we have the privilege of working through it. I'm just looking at the first three verses today because we want to see this chapter, which is very important to understanding the book as a whole, clearly. And so we're going to just spend a little bit of time getting our bearings. So this might be a little bit more of an overview, a little bit more of a big picture reflection, but we will look at the details of these particular verses. Starting in verse 1, we'll read to verse 3. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived, and bare him a son. The precious word of the living and the true God. Well, as you might know, you're probably very familiar with the fact that the book of Hosea opens with a shocking command. The Lord tells the prophet to go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Hosea's wife, Gomer, and she is going to serve as a picture of the standing of the people of God at this time. And so we must listen as the book of Hosea points to the faithful bridegroom and calls the church of Jesus Christ to be the faithful bride. And so it's important that we consider the book of Hosea. It's actually a very important book in the Bible because it's quoted in very important passages like Romans 9. We have sections of this first chapter quoted for us in Scripture. And so the book of Hosea teaches us how we can understand our Bibles. It helps us to realize that the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. And when we read the New Testament, it helps us to go back and understand what the Old Testament is saying. And so as you read the book of Hosea, look for these places where the Bible quotes itself, where the New Testament refers to the Old Testament. When Paul refers to Hosea in that chapter, Romans 9, he speaks of the people of God. But who are the people of God? Who are they? Are we just simply born as one who is God's people? The Jews and the Muslims and the Christians all refer to Abraham as being their forefather. What does the Bible say? Well, Hosea helps us to get to that place. What does it mean to be the people of God? Now, as we work through the book of Hosea, you're going to find out that there's a lot of bad news. It can get to be kind of a downer. There's a lot of judgment. What about grace? Where's the grace here? Well, you see, the whole point is grace. Because by nature, we are not the people of God. It's only by grace that we become the people of God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so as we begin to look at the book of Hosea, we need to understand this message of grace. Every time there's a statement of judgment, there's also a statement of God's everlasting love. In fact, as we'll see next week, this is a very surprising love story. It's one of the most surprising love stories in the Bible. God's love is proclaimed in the book of Hosea in a very particular way that is in some ways shocking. The extent to which God loves his people is surprising even to God's people. Where is Hosea in the Bible? Well, Hosea is a prophet. As I said before, he's one of the minor prophets, one of the shorter ones. There are longer prophecies like the book of Ezekiel, but these 12 shorter ones are called minor prophets. And Hosea is one that we don't know a whole lot about outside of what the Bible says. We don't know who Beeri is, who is his father, as we see in verse 1. But we know that the word of the Lord came to Hosea. We know that he is one through whom the Holy Spirit spoke. And so that's enough for us to want to pay attention, to understand that the book of Hosea speaks of the word of the Lord. It's God who's actually giving us this knowledge that we have in Hosea. The word of the Lord comes to Hosea in a particular time in history. But this is the word of the Lord, remember. Remember that this is not simply the word of the Lord given at that particular time for those particular people. It's the word of the Lord. And it's written down in Scripture so that we might grow, so that we might understand, so that we might be able to see in this particular way God's supplies and love. And that's important for us. It's important for us even as we consider the situation into which Hosea speaks. Hosea speaks at a time which, for the northern kingdom, was a time in which they were rapidly going downhill. The northern kingdom is represented by that single king mentioned there in verse 1, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. There are other kings after him, but they're not mentioned. They're not mentioned because they went downhill fast. The northern kingdom went through six kings in rapid succession. They had short, brief reigns, and they were assassinated by their families. The northern kingdom is in the view of God. And God speaks through Hosea to this northern kingdom. He's going to say in verse 4 that he's going to cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. God is focusing his judgments on the northern kingdom. And as he focuses his judgment on the northern kingdom, he's going to call upon Hosea to do something that is shocking, something that is extremely surprising. He's going to have to take an action as a prophet that will show God's stance toward his people who have sinned against him. And so, the word of the Lord comes to Hosea in the days of these kings of Judah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He's speaking to them, but he's also speaking to the northern kingdom. He speaks to both. God's judgment is coming. And without going into all of the things that we will see as we work through the book of Hosea, it's important to just see the basic overview that there is a spiritual decline in Israel. God is dealing with his people in relationship to his law, and Israel is not keeping the law. There is false worship. There is cult prostitution. There is the worship of Baals. The priests are not applying the law. God's people are forgetting his law. And so they are turning from their king, God himself. And the purpose of this proclamation from this prophet is to call God's people back to the covenant, back to the understanding of what they are doing. And so God gets their attention in a very particular and surprising way. All of the references to the whoredoms that take place in this book refer not only to the physical activity of Gomer, but also to the spiritual adultery of the people of God. It's a double image. It's an image that has a meaning that is spiritual as well as a meaning that is physical. We need to understand that as we look at what God has called upon Hosea to do. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea tells him to take unto him a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Immediately, people begin to wrestle with the book of Hosea. How could God tell Hosea to take to himself a wife who was adulterous, a wife who was a prostitute? Some think that he actually took to himself someone who was, at that time, a prostitute. But this particular verse is very important for us to understand carefully. He says, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. When he says children of whoredoms, he's speaking of the future. He's speaking of something that is going to happen. The first child that is born will be born through his relationship with Gomer. And yet there are going to be names given to these children that are going to represent this adultery, the adultery of the people of God. You see, God is actually calling upon Hosea to live out in his marriage and in his life with his children the spiritual reality of the people of God, the spiritual reality of covenant breakers. How could he do that? How is it that God would be calling upon Hosea to take upon him, to take into his household those who represent his judgment, those who represent his stance towards spiritual adultery? And furthermore, how could God ask Hosea to take to himself this one who is going to be unfaithful? Well, as we saw regarding the children, there is a statement of them being children of whoredoms, but it's something that hasn't happened yet. And that's very important as we consider what God is asking Hosea to do. Hosea is being called upon to get married to someone who is going to be unfaithful to him. He's told that from the very start. And this mirrors the relationship that God has with his people. If you go on to read into chapter 2, you'll find out that the people of God were in a honeymoon period with him at the very beginning. It was a time in which there was love between God and his people, from God to the people and from the people to God. And yet that changed. Now the people of God are in a position where they are spiritually unfaithful. They are continuing to disobey God, and they are engaged in idolatry, covenant breaking, outward rebellion, and even falling away from the Lord, apostasy. And Hosea is designed by God to be a visible picture of the unfaithfulness of the people of God in his relationship to his wife. As you, some of you have read the book of Hosea, you know that there's a surprising level of love that Hosea demonstrates toward Gomer in this book. We need to remember that that love that Hosea demonstrates as he continues to pursue Gomer is also a picture of God's tremendous love towards his people. His people who are adulterous, who are unfaithful to him, God pursues. He pursues and he demonstrates steadfast love, even in the context of unfaithfulness. And when we remember that Jesus Christ came into the world to live among men and women and boys and girls who needed to be won from their sins, when we remember that the New Testament tells us that it's for the enemies of God that Christ died, when we remember that the Bible says that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, then we begin to realize that the book of Hosea is actually speaking to us through this marriage of Hosea and Gomer of the way that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. As a result of God's steadfast pursuing love, God would not give up unfaithful people. God has judgment planned for those who will not turn to him, but there are those whom he has sent his love upon, who he will pursue and pursue and pursue and pursue. Like Hosea pursues Gomer in this book. And we will begin to be surprised. And I'm actually very excited for us as God's people. Because I think it's a very good thing that the Holy Spirit has given us this particular book. Because we need to be surprised. Sometimes it's easy for us to think, well, you know, I'm faithful. I give. I sing. I'm using the means of grace. I try to show kindness to the people of God during the week. I'm seeking the Lord. And yet the book of Hosea, in showing us the unfaithfulness of Gomer, in showing us the unfaithfulness of Gomer as a picture of the faithlessness of the people of God, will expose corners of our hearts. And in those corners of our hearts, we begin to think to ourselves, God is angry with me. God is judging me. And sometimes it's discipline. The book of Hebrews makes that clear. But sometimes it's that corner of our heart where we recognize that we are unfaithful to the Lord and we're sure that he's disciplining us. We're sure that he's judging us. Well, we need to be surprised. It's even in our unfaithfulness that God shows his love. In fact, even against the backdrop of our unfaithfulness, his love is more dramatically shown. Just as Hosea's love for Gomer is demonstrated more clearly in obedience to the Lord's command, he continues to pursue and to show love for Gomer. First thing that will happen, we will have a child. Together, we will have a son. This is what's supposed to be the start of a wonderful marriage and family life. Many would long for this. This is the beginning. Now I am married and we have a son. But remember, God loves you and me so much. And Hosea, in his obedience to the Lord, is a picture of God's love. So that you might see unfaithfulness through a family. A family that represents God's stance toward people who have rebelled against him. But at the same time, a family that shows his steadfast love. God is going to show you Christ through Hosea. God is going to show you his steadfast, enduring love. You see, we do like to say, this happened in the 8th century, that's not my family. That's perhaps a family that I might read about in a novel or see on TV, but that's not my family. But you see, the message of Hosea is much closer than that, much more specific than that. Brothers and sisters, we are Gomer. We are those who are unfaithful. In some way, in some aspect of your life, you're going to see it in the book of Hosea. But rest assured, when you do, you will also see God's surprising pursuing love. Because this unfaithfulness is expressed in many different ways. And it's easy for us to get to fall into it. You see, it's not just the unfaithfulness in marriage, the unfaithfulness in the marital relationship. It also has to do with money, as we'll find. It also has to do with material things. Gomer is given gifts from people for a short period of time. And these gifts attract her. Already we're beginning to see another category. You thought to yourself, well, you know, I thought the category had to do with prostitution. And I thought it had to do with those aspects of marriage. And so, why am I listening to this again? But as we work through the book of Hosea, we find that unfaithfulness to the Lord is actually a broader category. It involves sins that intersect with one another. So that when we commit one sin, we find that there's another commandment that we've broken. And when you find yourself in that position, you need to know the gospel. You need to know that Jesus Christ pursues and saves sinners. You need to know that you are delivered. You need to know that you are delivered specifically in those areas where you are unfaithful to the Lord. You need to know that God has sent His Son to provide for you. And if God would send His Son to provide for you, then it doesn't stretch our imagination when we consider that God sent Hosea to marry Gomer and have children, children of whoredoms, to speak to the people of God in the 8th century in order for us to see God's faithful, pursuing, surprising love in our day. You see, God has provided for us in the book of Hosea. Jesus is the groom, and we are the bride of Christ. But He's more than that, you see. He's also the faithful one. He's also the one who keeps the terms of the marriage. Because you and I are unfaithful. So how can we be in a marriage relationship with the Lord? How can we sustain that marriage relationship if we're like Gomer? Jesus Christ again. He fulfills both sides. Faithful and representative of the people. You see, Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the reason that unfaithful men and women, boys and girls, can read the book of Hosea and be encouraged.